Hey guys, welcome to the Clinton Macomb Public Library podcast. I'm excited for this one today because we are going to be talking about the Clinton Macomb Public Library Comic-Con, which I'm thrilled about. So my name is Colleen, and I am one of the teen librarians here at the Clinton Macomb Public Library. And I have a couple of people with me today who are also involved with this Comic-Con. And we're going to ask them some questions. I have not told them these questions, so we're going to really put them on the spot. And we're going to talk about all things nerdy, geeky, Comic-Con related. And somehow we're going to tie it all back to library stuff. And it sounds like that might be hard, but I have my sneaking suspicions it's not as difficult as one might think. So today with me, I have Hannah and Natalie. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, happy to be here.
Great. Do you two want to give yourselves some introductions?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'm Natalie, and I work at the Clinton Macomb Public Library as a part of the circulation care team. And a fan of all things got pretty nerdy. So.
And do you want to give us a quick insight as to how you're involved in this year's Comic-Con?
Yes. I am doing a panel that will be discussing Wolverine and if he's overrated and why he kind of deserves the popularity that he ended up getting over the years.
I'm excited for that. That sounds really interesting. I feel like I know a lot about Wolverine, but probably not nearly enough to call myself like a Wolverine geek or nerd. So yeah. I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
And then Hannah.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. My name is Hannah. I am a children's librarian over at the main branch. So if you're ever around on Monday or Tuesday mornings or Wednesday nights, you might recognize me. I am doing a lot with Comic-Con this year, but mostly with KidCon. So I get to do some Comic-Con stuff, but hopefully if any of you youngins are in the crowd, you'll come visit me at either our Super Mario obstacle course, which is going to be a good time, I'm sure.
I'm excited for that.
I know. I'm really excited. We've got.
Am I allowed to be involved? I'm not a child, so.
Yeah, you could totally, demo it for us.
Great.
Yeah, what else am I doing? I think a graphic novel workshop. Mm-hmm. You can also find me in the TTRPG room when I'm not doing any of that stuff. So I am super excited for Comic-Con. It's been way too long since I've been to a con. So
we basically just said, Hannah, how long can we have you? And I'm gonna put you places and give you things
I
to
said,
do.
So. As long as you want, I will go wherever.
That's awesome. And I'm super excited for Natalie to do a presentation because
yes,
Natalie and I have talked comics before. So I work at all three buildings and I sometimes run into Natalie at the South Branch and we'll talk about comics every once in a while. And I'm like, okay, you know your stuff. I'm excited to hear what you have to say. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about all the Comic-Con stuff, I want to make sure that everybody realizes it's almost Comic-Con time. Like by the time that this is out, I'm not sure what date this comes out, but by the time that you're listening to this podcast, it's probably like a couple weeks away. Our Comic-Con used to be in the spring, but we've moved it because it's one of our biggest programs that we do here at the Clinton Macomb Public Library. And we thought, well, why not take two great things and make them great together? And we took it and moved it with our other biggest program that we do, the summer reading program. And we're throwing Comic-Con at the end of summer reading as like a big bash celebration. So our Comic-Con this year for 2022 is going to be Saturday, August 13th, which is a first for us. We've never done it in the summer before. So I don't know what to expect. But the nice thing is it means we get to do a lot of stuff outside, which I think, Hannah, some of the things you were talking about will be outside. So that'll be kind of cool. We get to spread out and do a little bit more. Yeah. So...
yes,
I'm looking forward to that. Natalie, I won't make you present outside. You get a room. So,
all righty.
You don't have to like PowerPoint on the trees or anything. Don't worry.
Right. Oh, hey, I'm sure that would be fun.
You'd figure it out. Oh, we could use our inflatable movie screen to do it.
Oh yeah, true.
There we go.
Just kidding. But okay, so, I prompted them to come up with a couple topics to talk about today, but I also let them know that I was going to ask them a couple of questions because what is geek and nerddom and fandom without like some healthy debate, right? So would you two prefer if I ask you questions now, or would you like to talk about your topics now? I'm going to leave it on the table for you. Or we can mix it up and do some of both.
Oh, man. Really, really keep people on their feet, including me.
I was going to say, I'm good either way. I mean, hey, a little bit of both. Sounds like a good one.
Well, why don't I start it off with a quick question, and then we will go into our topics, because I think there's some overlap between the two of you with your interests. So, so I have been, I'm sure a lot of people have been watching all of these live action TV shows that have been coming out that are all across the fandom lately. So we've got live action Star Wars. We've got all these, Marvel is just like everywhere with everything right now. So what is, for both of you, your most and least favorite, like which ones do you think have been on the best and the worst of the 2022 live action stuff? Or I guess we could
specifically 2022.
No, I was like, why don't we do the last 2021. Like, 2021, 2022. So in the last like year and a half. So best and worst done, or best and worst in your lineup.
Sure.
Right. Let's see. Well, yeah, I've got a lot of them on my like to watch list. Okay. I haven't gotten to them, too much of them yet, just because of time and scheduling, but
sure.
I know the one that I'm looking the most forward to, just kind of on my roster, would be like Moon Knight, and I know I did want to catch the new Doctor Strange as well. So
New Doctor Strange just got released out on
It's on streaming now.
So yeah. I'm excited for that.
I know I meant to see it in theaters, but you know, stuff ended, like life ended up happening, you know.
As it does. And there's so much coming out, like I said. It's just the market is flooded right now, and it's so awesome.
We're almost to Thor Love and Thunder too.
What number of Thor is this at this point? I've lost count.
That's the third. The fourth. That's the fourth.
Okay, so
fourth. Yeah, Thor, right. Four? Because Ragnarok was third.
Oh yeah, that's right. Wow.
Right. I don't know if I ever saw the second Thor movie. I don't think I did.
Don't listen to Hannah. Hannah doesn't know what they're talking about. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen the second one all the way through.
Every time I think of Thor movies, I just think of the scene where he just chucks the coffee on the ground and goes, "More," and I'm like, I've never felt more seen in a movie.
Right.
So anyway,
have to say, my favorites, I really, really, really loved Moon Knight. I thought they did a tremendous job with that, especially being a Marvel hero that not only have we not really seen before, not really, we haven't seen them before in the MCU, but I also don't feel like Moon Knight is really as well known. So I think they did a really, really good job with bringing in a new hero, and how they did the show was just like half the time I was like, what is happening? I don't know what's going on.
Well, and the cast, listen,
I really do not like Poe as a character in the new Star Wars. Like, I really can't stand him, but I would follow Oscar Isaac to the end of the world. Like,
I agree.
So yeah, I love Moon Knight. WandaVision also was high up there. I just really like how both the shows were so unique, and like how they presented like timeline streams, and like, I don't know, I just thought they were very creative in how they were directed and presented.
I'm also loving that, speaking of casts and whatnot, is like, I feel like they're bringing all of these big movie stars and putting them in TV shows. Yeah. And I think that says something about how epic our TV shows are right now. Like,
I agree.
They don't, it's not a waste of time for these people. They are in it. They want to do these epic TV shows. Like, So that is a thing. So Natalie, you have not seen Moon Knight yet, right?
I have not, but like I said, I know it's highly not on my watch. Yeah.
I don't spoil anything.
All right.
Right. No spoilers. You can't have spoilers.
My least favorites. Okay. Well, like, I liked half of Book of Boba Fett. It was like every other episode. But some of it for me was just like, this is unnecessarily boring. Like, there were some parts that were well worth the watch. Like, it's worth the watch, but I probably wouldn't go back and watch that again.
Okay.
And I really, really did not like Doctor Strange 2. I did not like it. I thought it was very bad.
So Natalie and Hannah are both at odds and together with their opinion.
I really wanted to like it. I think that it was a very good premise. And I think it could have been very good.
Yeah.
But I did not end up enjoying it.
I'm just fascinated by Dr. Strange. Like, the magic element is, I find,
yes,
really,
and
interesting
I,
for a
and
superhero.
My issue with the second one is I wanted more of that. I feel like the reason that the first Doctor Strange was so cool is because of like how the magic was used to kind of like manipulate reality. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get that in the second one. And I kind of felt like it actually kind of did, I don't want to like spoil anything, but I felt like it kind of did the opposite, where like, I don't know. I know some people
on
who just, really loved it, like, and more power to you, but I personally thought it lost the touch that like Doctor Strange one had. But
no,
I really like,
that's fair.
But I really liked America, who's like the kid. And
I thought that
character and that actress did a very good job, and I hope that we get to see more from her.
Yeah, definitely.
So speaking of the little previews of characters and seeing more of them, and the fact that you mentioned Book of Boba Fett and stuff, like, okay, so obviously if you know me, you know my obsession, which is Star Wars. And that is one of the things that I've been loving about all of these TV shows lately, and not even just like the last year or so, like just all of the Star Wars TV shows in general, which most of them up until like the last couple years have been animated. So they've been really able to do almost whatever they want and bring in whoever they want as a character from the whole universe. And I love that they have this, the entire thing is intertwined. And, you know, like I actually last night, as we're recording this, last night I just finished the Obi-Wan series. The finale was on, and I can't go into spoilers because it's so new.
It's so new,
but
and
I will
by the time
say,
people listen to this, it won't be.
But even then, I still don't want to, you know, nerd culture, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I will say that the entire series was, to me, worth it for the last conversation. And I won't say anything else.
Yeah.
And if you're curious about what I mean, you're just going to have to watch it.
Yeah. Obi-Wan was so good, though. They did a really good job, I think.
I mean, Obi-Wan's amazing.
Truly.
So,
yeah.
But I love that they have all of that overlap within all these different shows. You know, the Book of Boba Fett and The Mandalorian and, you know, all these different characters overlapping, and you're seeing just how interconnected all of these stories are. And I love that. And I feel like Marvel, obviously, like everybody's connected to Marvel. Because every like three movies, they have to do a giant, you know, collaboration of something. So of course they're all connected. But I really love how immersive that makes all of these things, because you just, it's, if you like one thing, you're like, oh, this is where I go next or whatever. So I think that's really fun.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Like with Mandalorian, like, you know, really kind of love then, like how it kind of tied into like everything like post Return of the Jedi.
I know.
And like all like the little nods to like, like, you know, like Clone Wars and and like and all that, you know, that's a show I've been kind of following pretty closely, and you know, it's just, you know, a lot of fun, and
I agree.
It's really kind of neat what they kind of did with it. So
I think it's funny, actually. So Hannah, you brought up that you didn't like the Book of Boba Fett all that much sometimes because of how slow or whatever, and what is funny to me is that The Mandalorian was like, we always joked that it's the show where nothing happens and everything happens. We're like, it feels so slow, and yet you're like, oh, I love this. So I find it interesting, because I felt similarly about Book of Boba Fett, where I was like, what, come on guys, what are we doing here? Like, let's get this moving. But at the same time, I did still enjoy the series, but just, I liked Mandalorian a lot more, which kind of pains me to say because I love Boba Fett so much.
Yeah.
But I've always loved Boba Fett from the books. And
yes,
it kind of makes me cry that they're all quote unquote legend now.
And I don't want to spoil anything from the Book of Boba Fett, but there were certain scenes that I like, because it takes place kind of in two different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like one time period was much more interesting than the other one. So it's kind of like, and like there were two episodes, almost two full episodes, that focus specifically on the Mandalorian and not on Boba at all. So I was like, wait,
I know.
Why are we, I wish they had like instead like create, I don't know. I wish it had been called something different. I don't know. It was just weird that like two out of what, six or
I think there were seven or eight. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. We're not about the character at all.
Boba Fett comes on screen. Hello. He's like, hey, welcome to Book of Boba Fett. This is The Mandalorian. See you later. And then.
Yeah.
Right.
But and that's it, I felt the same. And even though I really love The Mandalorian, I was like, look, I'm not watching Mando right now. I want to see Boba Fett. So let's figure this out.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it was interesting, like Natalie said, with the like following right after the original trilogy and everything, like you're getting the feel for that. And Boba Fett does that as well, where you see, again, I won't go into details, no spoilers, but you see a timeline that's like almost directly after the movie, but then you see it spanning. And that's just kind of cool to be able to see all the background. And right. That's what I've always loved about the books too. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and can we talk about real quick, speaking of background, Thrawn? Hello?
Yeah,
that
oh, yeah.
is coming out with a TV show now.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That'll be like wonderful to like wonderful to see, because I remember enjoying like both the Legends and like that first round of trilogy books that Timothy Zane mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. did, and then you know seeing him appear in Rebels was kind of like was really yes. kind of cool as well. So.
And I hear, and I don't take my word for it because I've done absolutely zero checking on but yeah. I hear that the person who voiced him in the Rebels series is going to play him in the live action, which I, if that's true, am thrilled for, because oh my gosh, did he play him well. So.
I agree. He did like play him really well. It kind of gave him that like chilling and very like yes. intelligent kind of like sound that you would expect from like that character.
Thrawn is one of those people where you're like, I'm more scared that you're not mad.
Right.
So he is a very intimidating character, and I'm very excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I think feel like we got off track because of me and my Star Wars.
You're good.
So yes, it's all related. So I feel like we've touched some of our live action stuff, but what about Comic-Con is obviously about comics. What about comics? I know Hannah has a particular comic that you've been enjoying, which yeah. actually ties back into a live action thing. And I'm sure I don't need to say anything else because you love.
Oh yeah, it's Heartstopper.
Yeah, but, I was like, don't screw this up.
but I like a lot of other. I like other comics too.
I know. But you yeah, like it's all the comics. But I just thought that one tied in well. But what fair, are your favorite kinds of comics?
Oh, my favorite kinds of comics. I don't know. I usually like fantasy, which is funny because Heartstopper is not that. But I typically
very realistic fiction.
Yeah, very much realistic fiction. But I typically do love to see how creative like artists can get with whatever fantasy elements they bring into their books. And it's so interesting, like as someone who was an avid fantasy reader of fiction prose when I was younger, where we really didn't have graphic novels. It was basically manga or nothing when I was a kid, as far as graphic novels go. And I just really, because like I've talked to my friends about this before, but I am someone who really struggles to like see images in their brain. I know there was that whole like thing that swept across social media of are you someone who can like close your eyes and envision an apple or like whatever it was. And so I have very, very low like mental, like everything's fuzzy. I can't really see things. So when I would read books, I wouldn't actually like see the images of things. Whereas I get that with graphic novels, which I think is why I like them so much. So as a kid reading fantasy, you know, the author would describe these elaborate outfits or elaborate whatever, and I would see it for like maybe a second, and then it wouldn't stick with me while I was reading the book. Whereas with graphic novels, I get to see all the elaborate, like the ways that magic works and the character designs and costumes and all that stuff. So that's why I think I have gravitated towards comics so much in the past, you know, since they've become popular in the past 10 years or so.
Yeah. Very cool. And then Natalie, I know that we've talked about a lot of like X-Men and like classic comic stuff, but is that, do you think, your favorite kind of comic, or is that just something like you have a niche interest in? Or
I would probably say a little bit of both, because for me I just kind of I might like gravitate towards like maybe like characters or certain like stories.
Yeah,
because like I kind of like it, like a little bit of like the realistic kind of fiction, but also like the sci-fi of like something like Green Lantern. But I would definitely say I do enjoy a lot of like a lot of classic comics, which I just kind of find like really kind of neat, because it's neat to kind of see like the history of like comics a lot of the times, I find. Like, you know, where it all kind of started with, like, you know, X-Men, for example, or, or, like, you know, like being, like, a series coming out during, like, this, you know, like, the mid-60s, like, how things definitely would have been, like, a lot, you know, like, different then as compared to, like, you know, today, while still kind of having, like, a very same message kind of, like, kind of throughout, like, throughout.
I actually, yeah, I feel like they're... obviously comics have really evolved from, you know, the very classic original stuff back in the, you know, 50s, 60s, that kind of stuff. But like,
yeah,
I feel like some of them are coming back around and they're being like, they're really embracing the old school kind of either art or the, you know, storylines. But I do really like the variety. And I love like what Hannah was talking about, the fact that it gives you the visuals, it makes it more tangible, and you know that everybody is seeing this whole part of the story that you want them to see, and it's not just kind of up to them to imagine. So I think that's really cool.
Oh yeah, I agree. I definitely agree, because yeah, it is really kind of nice to kind of get that like visual while you're kind of like reading along with these like stories. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm pretty excited to be the person that gets to buy a lot of the comics and graphic novels at the library. So I get to buy them all for the teen collection, which I think is the best collection, but you know, I might be biased, that's fine. So one of my favorite series is X-Men First Class, which is, I just love that series so much. And I feel like it's a good combination of some classic characters and also like, but a newer kind of style of comic. It's not necessarily the OG stuff.
Yeah, it's been like remade and refit for current times.
Yeah. Definitely, that. Yeah.
Okay, so my next question, obviously, who's your favorite superhero?
Oh no.
All right. well, for mine, it really kind of like, it goes between like a couple of different characters, just depending on like the day.
Okay, you pick your top two then. Only two.
All right. I guess that would for me. I guess for me it would have to be Nightcrawler from X-Men, and then Red Robin, Tim Drake from DC.
A DC and a Marvel. Yeah, getting there. Okay.
Because with Tim Drake, I just really fell in love with the Red Robin series that he had in 2009, which we had like the second volume for. I'm sorry,
that's okay.
But we had like the second volume of that actually at Main Branch, and I remember like you know picking that up and just kind of checking into it and like really kind of enjoying it, and just really loved the artist in that particular like volume. And you know, I personally kind of loved the whole dynamic that he had with like Ra's al Ghul, and it's like this game of like cat and mouse and like four D chess almost.
Oh wow! Almost. Okay, yeah. And I feel like that's a comic that is not as mainstream.
I don't. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say I feel like, you know, it's not. I feel like it's a mainstream character in a way, but it's just not as well known as a lot of other comic books or characters. So that's a good kind of deep dive. I like that.
Yeah, but which like I said, I know it's like it was a very short run, because it ended up ending. I don't know how long before the new 52 kind of launched, but yeah, it kind of like ran from like 09 I think to like 2011, and it was like, you know, like a it's a relatively like short series, so you know, like it's just a matter of getting your hands on it, because it's kind of hard getting your hands on, because it doesn't get like re-released these days,
right, which probably is part of the reason that not as many people are. I don't know how many other people would say Red Robin, Tim Drake as a top character, so that's awesome.
And then for like Nightcrawler, I guess it's kind of a mix of kind of like having a resurgence of it, like interest in the character, and kind of liken his portrayal in the X-Men Evolution animated series from like the early 2000s.
Okay. And yeah, I actually didn't see that series.
Yeah. Yeah. It was basically a kind of like a high school spin on X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Where a lot of the characters, except for like Wolverine, Storm, Charles, Magneto, and like Mystique, okay. and those type of characters, mm-hmm, like they're all like high school students and kind of living life as both like an X-Men as well as like, you know, going like being like high school students.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah. I think that series just kind of like passed me by during that time and I never went back to it. So
yes.
Maybe I'll have to revisit it. I don't know. Cause I was a big X-Men fan for a long time. Yeah. I've kind of fallen off the X-Men wagon for a while because I've lost track of stuff, but
oh, hey, that's understandable. I mean, like,
there's a lot, you know,
yeah, and like having like just gotten into like reading like the graphic novels, mm-hmm, knowing where to pick up, it will always kind of be like the hard thing because it's what, like, where do you start?
Right, there's a lot, and the offshoots and talking about intertwined, like, that is,
yeah,
that's a whole universe.
Yeah.
So. All right, Hannah, what are your top two?
My top two. So for Marvel, it's Squirrel Girl.
Yay!
I love Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
MCU is Wanda and Vision, like specifically in the MCU.
Okay.
Which is probably why I was so disappointed. Part of why I was so disappointed in Doctor Strange. It's fine.
Yeah.
But for DC, it's going to be Beast Boy.
Oh, okay. Now, are we talking Beast Boy, like, overall? Or are we talking, like, Teen Titans overall. Beast Boy? Or...
No, overall. Yeah, I'll take him overall.
I was just talking the other day with one of our teen patrons about the Teen Titans Go series and how it's absolutely Teen Titans, but 100% not Teen Titans.
Yes.
Well, it's totally different.
To me, it's like if they made Teen Titans into the Muppets.
Oh my God, that's so accurate.
Like that's what it's like, a Muppet version of Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah,
and I know so many people were so awful about it when it first came out, like specifically in my generation where Teen Titans was like the cartoon on TV when I was a kid, mm-hmm, like the original one. And so many people were pooping on it about how stupid it was. And I'm like, dude, it's because you're not a kid anymore. Calm down. Like, you're going to be fine. No one can take the original away from us. Just go rewatch that. Sit down. You'll be okay.
I'm picturing it as like Muppet Babies.
Yeah, that's how I imagine it. They're Muppet Babies, but like versions of the superheroes. So.
Pretty much.
I think I've seen like maybe a 15 minute or less segment of Teen Titans Go. Like, I couldn't care less, but I do love the original. I have it all on DVD still.
I don't know why I watch so much Teen Titans Go, but like, it's a funny show. It's one of those shows that like, it's just not offensive. Like, you just, you can't be upset about it. And anybody that is wrong.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
And Cami Garcia did some graphic novels that covered like Raven's origin story and Beast Boy's origin story, and then kind of started mixing the two of them together,
mm-hmm,
into Beast Boy Loves Raven. Yes. And then I do believe they do intend on doing like the origin stories of all of the Teen Titans.
I wondered about that because I was like, wait a second, we're only getting
I saw it a while ago that it looked like they were doing, I think I saw a Robin one somewhere on the docket. I'm not positive that is still happening because I feel like it's been a while and I haven't heard anything, but
it's also
pulling back to comics
done. Yeah,
if you're looking for a more updated, like not as comic booky but more graphic novel-y, highly recommend Cami Garcia's retelling rendition.
For sure, yeah. You're right. They don't really read, like, classic comics.
They don't. Yeah, they more read, like, graphic novels to me. Mm-hmm, But I really liked how she did it. It was very good.
And the artwork is great, too. It.
Yeah.
Who does the artwork for that one? Is it?
I don't remember. I'll check.
Hannah's going to look that up while we chit-chat. Fill time. No. But that is, I do like that there are so many different renditions artistically of a lot of these characters too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Gabriel Piccolo.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know who that is.
No, I don't think I would have ever come up with the name. I know. Now I'm like, I love the art. I have to figure out what else they do.
All right. I'm kind of the same way with Marcus too, who worked on some of Red Robin stuff. Kind of learned he did a couple of issues for like the Rebirth Nightwing, which I didn't initially know, but I'm like, you know, I can kind of see it now that I know that, because sometimes you can just kind of tell, like you can kind of tell sometimes like what an artist's style is.
Yes.
But
yeah, even if they're doing like a slightly different, you know, character or different storyline, and it's not exactly the same kind of art, you can still pick out certain artists' styles and whatnot.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna have to look into that. I'm not super familiar.
It actually looks like he hasn't really done any other books. He has done a lot. He got he's a Brazilian comic artist and amassed a huge following on social media specifically. He was one of the people who did like the 365 day of doodles, and he like did a picture each day.
Yeah.
And he did do a lot of the Teen Titans and a lot of them in like modern clothing and like modern day. And then got picked up from that doing the Raven and Beast Boy and Beast Boy Loves Raven comics. So,
oh my gosh.
Follow him on Instagram at underscore Piccolo.
And how do you spell that?
P-I-C-O-L-O.
Great. A little plug there for you.
Yeah.
What's up, Gabriel?
For him. looks like, yeah, he's done a lot of superhero, a lot of Teen Titans, but just a lot of superhero in general, some Final Fantasy. I'm like scrolling through right now.
Ooh,
an Atlantis picture
game. Oh,
for those
my gosh.
Of you,
Atlantis. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now, and I have actually seen his art.
Danny Phantom, didn't... yeah.
I didn't know it was him. Oh, this is cool.
So anyways.
Yeah, Atlantis, I see that.
Yeah.
I love the one of Raven holding a plant and just looking annoyed. Oh, man. Oh, is that the gorillas? Okay, sorry. I have to stop looking at his Instagram.
Right,
but,
yeah, we'll
you know, Gabriel, if you want to come hang out next Comic-Con and, like, talk
right,
about
yeah,
your story of
you.
It won't work. That's okay. We can do it.
Brazil's a little far.
A little bit. But, hey, there's always virtual.
Oh, true.
Thanks, COVID. all right. So we're coming up on close. So I'm going to ask you one more quick question. And then I'm going to go over some of the Comic-Con stuff, and we will end it there. So, I have a couple more questions, but which one should I pick? Okay. You know what, since we were just talking about this, if you could have one artist, and this can mean by artist, it could mean like what we were just talking about, or it could mean like a cosplay artist or anything else in nerddom that you would consider art. If you could have one artist come to the Clint Macomb Public Library Comic Con in the future and do something, what would that artist be? Or who would that artist be, and what would they do? That's a hard one. I'm sorry.
But, oh, it's okay. You know, as much as I would love to say George Perez, rest in peace.
Alive or dead. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I feel like, you know, he would have been like someone I feel like he would have been kind of neat to kind of come over to Clint Macomb, just because I know he did have like such a long history with both like Marvel and DC,
mm-hmm.
and worked on a lot of important like stories, like the new Teen Titans, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I feel like it would have been nice, but yeah, I know he recently passed away after a long battle with I think he was like pancreatic cancer or some form of cancer.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just have to continue to enjoy his contributions, which were pretty epic. So.
Oh yeah, they were.
And maybe one day in another universe, in the multiverse of Comic-Con.
Right.
All right, Hannah, did that give you sufficient time to narrow it down? You sounded a little panicked.
No matter what answer I give, it's going to be wrong.
No.
Just... about 20 minutes from now, I'm going to go, crap, no, it was actually that one. I mean, I guess Alice Osman, it would be really cool to do like a how to draw some of the characters from Heartstopper. I know that she's done some tutorials online before, so that could be pretty nifty.
I like that. Okay.
Do voice actors count? They're kind of like artists.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess it's not as comic. But like,
we were already talking about that with Thrawn. Like, that is art for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I don't know if we could get the cast of Critical Role here. I wouldn't say no. But
I'm honestly surprised they didn't come up until just now.
Right. Yeah, I know. I managed to keep it out of my mouth for a whole 45 minutes.
I'm so proud of you, Hannah.
Thanks. Everyone should go watch Critical Role Calamity. Except there is bad language in it, so not if you're under 18 without parent permission. But
there you go.
It's some of the best D&D I have ever watched. So,
and for those of you who don't know a lot about D&D, yeah, exactly. Plug as many people as we can. Maybe they'll hear it one day. So those of you who don't know a lot about D&D, or if you kind of do and don't know where to begin or whatever, this is where you want to come and talk to Hannah in the TTRPG RPG room, because it is, we're going to do all sorts of stuff, and it won't just be D&D. It's going to be a variety of tabletop role play games for those.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of different games I can play with you.
So yeah,
I'm working on learning how to play the Avatar role playing games. I'm really excited for that one.
We're going to have a whole bunch of cool stuff up there.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And real quick, I just have to say, I know this is a cop out, but I just really want you and McGregor to come to Comic-Con and talk about playing Obi-Wan, because he loves it. And you can tell.
I know, you can tell. Just,
oh, yeah.
And I will it's say, so he there's a moment in the new episode where he's like, hello there, and does his little classic hello there. And you're like, his day. That was the highlight of his day. And I love when a character is so beloved by the people playing them, because it just makes the character. So that would be
so much better.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, and he really does seem to like to love like the character. Like,
just, I mean, he knows him. You can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And then I'm also thinking about this particular like interview he had on I think it was like the Greg Norton show or Graham Norton show or whatever, where he's talking like, yeah, sometimes I've got to like run up to people to let them know that I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I would too if I were him. I'd be like, hey random stranger, did you know? I'm Obi-Wan, what's up, see you later. I feel like you're obliged to do that. Oh man. Okay, so I'm gonna have to cut us off, because I can tell that we will just talk forever.
Oh yeah, I could do forever.
The three of us are a problem at this. So that's what happens when nerds get together.
That's true.
Okay, so real quick to recap, Comic-Con is at the Clint Macomb Public Library, the main library on Romeo Plank. We are going to be here all day on Saturday, August 13th. We start things off, like Hannah said, with KidCon, which is really geared towards kids 10 and under, but it's super fun stuff. We like to give them a chance to come in and experience a Comic-Con without feeling too overwhelmed. And then we've got stuff going on all day. This is our biggest Comic-Con yet. I'm not even hesitating to say that. It is for sure. We are featuring, I want to say, over 30 local artists all over the state of Michigan, some, you know, right from our hometown here. It's just amazing types of art across the whole spectrum. We have tons of stuff going on. We've got amazing panels. We have some paleontologists coming in to talk about dinosaurs, because hello,
dinosaurs
arc. I know, right? Dinosaurs. I really buried the
lead. Oh my gosh.
We even have, are you ready for this? A NASA science what is his total, his actual, I want to get his planetary scientist. Yes.
Ooh.
So he's worked on the Mars rover, like he knows his stuff, and he's going to tell us if you can really build a Death Star or not. And I truly don't know.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm working.
You might not. You might not have to miss it. You might be able to go. That one's at 4 p.m. But we have
a whole
schedule that we will post. We will have everything on our website, cmpl.org/comic-con. We've got a Facebook event. We've got the whole thing. We'll try and link as many things as we can, but it's an amazing day. We could do a whole month's worth of podcasts about it. It's just so much going on. And I'm super excited for you two to join me. And I'm excited for all the other people that didn't come on our podcast who are going to be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you guys are going to make Comic-Con awesome. So hopefully we'll see everybody there. Maybe not everybody. That's a lot of people.
I should have a lot of people, though.
But hopefully we'll see some of you there. And hopefully we'll see you again for another podcast at the Clint Macomb Public Library. And I had a great time. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, I think this is great. I love sitting around and talking about nerd stuff.
I know. We can stop the recording and keep going. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you next time.